Buenos días, Roberto. ¿Cómo está usted hoy?
Good.
¿No quieres hablar español solamente?
Más o menos.
Sí, inglés.
Mediocre.
Okay, well then, that's better. So we'll do that. All right. Good morning to you guys. Thank you for joining us for the place-by-place fishing report, brought to you from the bustling, hustling world headquarters of Fish and Frank's Bait and Tackle Boutique right here in downtown Charlotte Harbor. Today is October the 17th, 2025. I am Captain Josh Olive. I am sitting here with Store Manager Robert Lukowitz, and we're going to get this thing going for you right about now.
Oh, great.
Now, normally we would begin with the Peace River, Harbor Heights, and upriver along with Shell Creek, but we haven't had any reports there for the last month. Robert, do we have anything there?
No.
I didn't think that we would. How about the I-75 bridges?
Nothing.
Then we'll skip that. The 41 bridges?
I actually have nothing this week for
We'll
there.
skip that too then. That brings us to the Lashley Seawall. Anything going on there?
No.
Alrighty. Then Spring Lake Park? Gotta be something in Spring Lake Park.
Some undersized snook?
I knew there was something in Spring Lake Park.
Undersized snook, been some sand bream there, a few undersized snapper. A guy caught an actual redfish off of there.
An actual redfish?
Yeah.
Describe what you mean by an actual redfish.
Like a legal-sized redfish and actually just reported it, pictured it, let it go. So it's kind of nice, though, because you don't hear very many redfish in the canals very often.
No, you don't.
So when somebody gets one, it's kind of nice to hear about.
And he released it.
Yeah.
So if you're still waiting for your slot redfish, it's possible you could go to Spring Lake Park and catch it yourself, right?
Yeah, sure. Slim to none.
But it's possible, right?
Anything's
Well,
possible.
that's where he caught it, and that's where he released it, right?
Yeah, there could be an oarfish in there, too.
There could be, but we have no evidence for that. We have evidence for a redfish.
He said he doesn't like eating redfish, so he let it go. Not a big fan of the taste.
I'm good with that.
That's why I tell people all the time, it's politics and religion. Everyone's got their opinion.
Yeah.
Try it once, see if you like it. Try it twice if you think you screwed it up, and then just make your final decision. You know? I mean, that's all fish. Look at you. You tried ladyfish, what, four or five different ways?
It was always gross.
Exactly.
I don't think I would try oarfish, though.
No,
I think
probably
it'd probably just end up releasing it.
Yeah.
All right,
that
so
would be
we've
an
got
interesting one.
Little snook and snapper, sand bream, and one slot redfish. Anything else in there?
Nope.
Okay. Then we will skip on to the next spot, which is the remainder of the Salt and Brackish Port Charlotte canals.
Oh, let's see. There are a lot of little juvenile tarpon rolling everywhere. Nobody's really hooking them, but they're trying. And then there's also a lot of plecos.
Yes, there
are.
So
I'm assuming the salinity is starting to come up because they are not very happy because they're coming up and rolling a lot.
And it's not just plecos. If you look close, you'll see that some of those are the brown hoplo armored catfish.
Yeah.
So we're getting both of those rolling around. And yeah, you're right. They are not happy with the salt content.
Mm-mm. Not at all. We've been seeing a lot of them. Like there was a school of them the other night off the dock. 10, 20 of them. They were not happy. They're getting sand bream all over in the canals. Mangrove snapper, mostly small. I've heard of a couple young bull sharks and one bigger bull shark. One that was about 4.5, 5 foot.
Okay.
I threw out a catfish the other day for, I don't know, roughly 2 hours. Didn't get nothing.
Didn't get nothing. So that means by the property of the double negative, you did get something. What did you get?
A catfish.
Sorry.
I got a catfish to use for bait. That's what I got.
Can't help myself, Robert.
Yeah, no.
I frequently use double negatives in speech as well, but
we also got a couple little snook, and I'm hearing of a lot of little snook. One of the customers driving through on his boat said he hooked one nice snook trolling out of the canal down closer towards Grassy Point. Did not land it, but watched it jump. Fought it for a minute, and then it pulled the hook.
Okay. Been hearing anything about folks who have lights seeing bigger numbers of them on there?
They're seeing a lot of little snook, yeah. Not anything that anyone's saying is going to get a giant snook back there right now.
Gotcha.
That's for a future part of the section of the report with those.
I like that. A little bit of foreshadowing. Did you mention the sand bream in here?
Yes, at the very beginning.
All right. I was busy trying to figure out how to spell Placostomus, so I didn't type that down.
Oh. Yep. Seeing a lot of them. She's going out there shining a light every night, you know, looking for plastic and looking at all the little hobberdobbers and other fish. Mm-hmm. We're seeing them sitting up underneath the dock.
Hobberdobber, for those of you who are not familiar, is a technical scientific term that refers to any small fish.
Yep.
All right. So that brings us to Elgebine. Now, we don't have a fishing pier there currently, but we do have news on the Elgebine Pier this week.
What kind of news do we have, Josh?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was reading it here in... No, wait, that wasn't in this one. I was reading it online. Charlotte County has voted to spend $250,000 on an engineering plan for rebuilding the Elgebine Pier. Now, this is not money to rebuild the pier. This is money for the plan to rebuild the pier. Now, the plan still has to get permitted. So this is not a permit. This is a plan. When the plan is completed, it gets sent to the state, to the EPA, and also to the federal government, to the Army Corps of Engineers, both of whom have to approve the plan before they can move forward with getting anything built. So this is the money that they spend on the plan to get the permit. Once the permit's issued, and you'd think it'd be quick to get a permit, but it ain't. Once the permit's issued, then they got to come up with the money to do the rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why this one is happening faster than it's happening with the other piers, you guys who fish the Elgebine Pier may remember that it kind of got burnt a while ago, and it kind of got burnt a long time before the hurricanes. Well, this is the time frame for getting the engineering plan after it got destroyed. That plan was already in place before the hurricanes to get an engineering plan. So that's why this one is happening faster. The other piers, I'm sure this will happen for them in a year or two.
Or four or five.
Yeah, something like that.
Probably.
And, you know, you and I have bashed on Charlotte County quite a bit for not caring about the piers, and I think that that's been well deserved on their part. But I think that, you know, giving credit where credit is due is deserved, and now we have a plan to have a plan for the Elgebine Pier. So at least there's that, right?
Sure.
Okay. So, any fishing in this area?
A couple guys have been fishing from their boats down there, catching some snook. A couple legal snook have been caught there. A lot of juvenile tarpon have been around.
Okay.
Nobody hooking them, but people are seeing them. There's also been a couple of trout caught off of there, some mangrove snapper. What else? That's about it. And a couple of trout were big trout, but it was only a couple of them.
Okay, so slots or above?
The one was 18 inches, and I think the other one was actually 20 inches, if I remember right. But okay. I've had quite a few different reports on trout, so it's hard for me to keep track.
And the mangs, are they keeper size or
no,
dinks?
Pretty much all small.
So you're saying the trout are up there to eat the mangrove snapper?
Probably.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
But no, they ain't even big enough to probably eat them. They would try, but I don't think they're that big.
All right, that brings us to the Myakka River area from the bridge down to marker 8.
Some Spanish mackerel, a couple of short cobia, and ladyfish.
Short cobia, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of probably about 10 different cobia in the last several days, and all of them have been shorts.
Mm. Which is not atypical.
No.
You know, we never had lots of big cobia in the harbor, but the size limit was small enough that you'd get keepers every now and then. Mm-hmm. And then the size limit grew, and then the size limit grew again. And now we don't see a whole lot of keeper-sized fish
right
in the harbor. The hope with that was that we would see our average size increase as the number of smaller fish harvested drop down. That
right
has not been the case.
Well, Same thing with snook.
Yep.
Whatever.
All right, let's bring it to the South Gulf Cove canals. Anybody catch anything in there?
Mayan cichlids and tilapia.
I'm guessing that's mostly on worms.
Yeah.
And mostly in people's backyards?
All of them in people's backyards. Two different guys. The one guy was actually catching them off of his light.
That's awesome.
So I was like, that's pretty cool. I had not heard that before.
Yeah, well, they come to it, but it's dangerous because, you know, you don't really want to hang out with the big snook and tarpon because you might get eaten.
Yeah.
But if you're in an area where there aren't so many snook and tarpon, then, hey, why not?
Yeah, it was just kind of neat.
Okay, well, that's a lot better than the last 2 weeks of reports, which were, let's see,
well, one of them was the guy that was going fishing but never called me before he...
Last week's report for the South Gulf Cove canals simply says terrible, and the week before that also simply says terrible. So, Mayan cichlids and tilapia is a massive, massive improvement.
Uh-huh.
That brings us to the West Wall.
The West Wall.
The West Wall. The one, the only.
On the outside of the West Wall on the north end. Between.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop.
Jesus.
Start that over again. The outside of the north end of the southern part of the West Wall.
The north end on the outside of the bar on the west wall, closer to marker 7.
Closer up there by Cattle Dock Point.
No.
Not that far north.
Closer to Trout Creek.
Closer to Trout Creek. Okay, that's a much better landmark. I like that. Landmarks are good. Okay, so what are we seeing in the Trout Creek area?
Schools of ladyfish and tarpon.
And that's outside the bar.
Yeah, 10 feet of water.
Okay. All right. I can work with that. Yeah.
And then under the bushes, a lot of little snook. A few redfish. And then on top of the bar, there's been some pompano being seen. Not as many people catching them, but seeing them. Along with a handful of trout and sharks. Guy got a bonnet head. He got a little lemon shark. What was the other one that he got? I don't remember. That was a different guy.
Okay.
But definitely seeing a lot more life over there all the way around.
And what's driving that?
The time of year. Water temperature's dropping. Salinity's coming up. Fish know that wintertime's coming along, so they gotta feed. They gotta find their wintering habitat. So... that's all of it. Which October is notorious for that. Mm-hmm. Same way as November.
So what you're saying is that we're sliding into a period of greater activity in these areas.
Yes.
And as we continue to go forward, we expect that some of the places that we've been kind of skipping over at the beginning of this report will get more activity up there, too.
Yes.
All right.
Basically, October is the month where you should be, we've talked about it many times, a Boy Scout should bring your tarpon rod and your trout rod, because you may be cruising along to go look for tarpon and it's too windy or they're not cooperating and you can go after the trout and the redfish.
Now, what if you're a girl? Can you still be a Boy Scout? In this instance, just say yes. Cape Hayes Bar, Robert. Cape Hayes Bar.
Get me started on that. So, Cape Hayes Bar, I got nothing.
No reports.
Nope.
Okay. How about Turtle Band Bull Bay?
Lots of redfish.
Under the trees, around the oysters?
Both. Mostly under the bushes. On the higher tide, they're definitely underneath the bushes a lot.
Okay.
And then there's quite a few snook mixed in with them.
Big ones, little ones?
Mostly all small, but there has been some bigger ones being seen and a couple legal fish caught in there. Guy the other day caught his first legal snook in there. He said it was 31 inches.
boom shakalaka.
And he's been wanting to catch a snook and keep one, but then he's like, you know what? I'm out here. I'm early. I don't want to keep it. He let it go.
There you go.
He put it in his live well and thought about it for a couple minutes and said, yeah, I'm out here fishing. Let it go.
There you go.
That was kind of cool.
Yep. Had the same experience more than once.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right. We got reds. We got snook. What else we got?
We got a lot of little trout. And if you want to go grocery shopping, there is a lot of sand bream in there. But they're in schools. So you might work an entire shoreline and not catch one, but then you get into a spot and catch 20 of them. And that was the same thing we saw with Carl when we were out there a couple weeks ago with him.
And what kind of locations would you expect to find these schools of sand bream?
They were all on the about 10 feet away from the bushes in about 2 to 3 feet of water.
Okay. So if you're making a bad cast, and you're not quite reaching the trees because you're afraid to go squirrel fishing, and you're fishing with shrimp,
mm-hmm.
you might just end up catching sand bream instead.
Yes, definitely. Probably not, though, because he's probably going to just rob you blind because they got such a small little mouth.
Well, yeah, probably. So, if you're actually actively targeting them, peeled chunks of shrimp are a better choice.
Yes, exactly.
What are we seeing in here for mullet activity?
A lot of mullet. They're all on that pre-spawn mode. The funny part is the majority of what I saw that day when we were out there, most of them are, like, small, like a foot long.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see a lot of big ones.
A lot of half-pounders?
Yeah.
No, we saw some schools of pretty good-sized fish in there.
We saw a few, but nothing. For as many mullet as we saw, it was cool to see that many mullet, but a little sad at the same time because of the size.
Yeah. Well, let's just call it a big yearling class. How's that? Does that make you feel better?
No.
I tried to turn his frown upside down.
Just like you and I having that discussion sitting on the dock that one day. Where are the mullet?
Just.
How long did we sit there to hear one and see one?
Too long.
Yeah. And I know all summer long, I don't think I've heard of maybe a half a dozen, period, in the backyard. Not hardly at all.
Well, I can't focus on your sad sack things. I got more report places to go to, so we're doing that instead. Cape Hayes and Danger Reefs.
Some Spanish mackerel. And a few sharks. Black nose, sharp nose, one lemon, one nurse shark.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got a nurse shark closer to devilfish.
Big one?
I think you said it was like 7 or 8 foot.
Yeah, pretty good one.
Mm-hmm. The lemon shark was about the same. And then he caught several black nose. Or I'm sorry, several sharp nose. I think he said one black nose. A couple of bonnet heads. All out there in the open.
Nice. It's a good time if that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
That's Gasparilla what, sound.
That's what they wanted. Gasparilla sound is pretty fishy. Let's see. There's a lot of snook and redfish up along the bushes and out on the flats a little bit for the redfish.
Are they schooled on the flats?
I haven't heard of any schools hardly at all. Carl came across a school yesterday, he said, with his customers. Blew him out because he came around the corner where they normally are never at. And then they're pinfish and cut bait. Guys are catching some decent snook, like 28 to 32, sometimes a couple oversized fish down in that area, all on cut bait. Cut ladyfish and cut mullet. I think I probably had at least 4 different customers tell me about the snook they caught on cut bait down there while fishing for redfish.
Okay.
Which is not, it's not a targetable way to go about snook fishing, but this is the time of year where it is not unheard of. You know, they're trying to build up their fat reserves, so they get into that more right. scavenging, opportunistic modes.
Yeah, and, you know, typically, especially when they get a little bit bigger, we've talked about this more than once, they get a little lazy. So we tend to see more of those larger fish on cut bait. That's one of the cool things about it, is that you don't see a whole lot of little 16-inch snook when you're fishing that chunk of cut bait. Not that they won't hit it occasionally, but right. your average fish will be a little bit bigger than your white bait fish.
Definitely.
All right, so we got snook, reds. Anything else down here in Gaspar Sound?
Some Spanish mackerel on the outside of the bar.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any sharks around?
Yeah, they're getting the same thing. Some of the sharp nose, a couple of small bull sharks being seen on the flats. One bigger bull shark saw over there on the flats. Another unidentified shark on the flats. And bonnet heads occasionally cruising around.
No sandbars yet, huh?
Nah, not until those mullet go offshore. I mean, there's always a slim possibility, but water temp's still, what, 84 degrees or something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Still a little warm.
I agree. Anything else out here?
Nope.
Moving on to Placida.
Lots of little snapper.
Around the trestle.
Mm-hmm. Some sheep's head. Just a couple here and there. They're not balling up yet, but you can tell that they're getting a little bit more excited. There's been a few flounder and pompano being caught around the bridges and the trestles.
And remember, flounder season is closed.
Just closed?
Closed on the 15th.
Perfect.
And it will be closed until the beginning of December. A 6-week closure.
Nice. Then we got a lot of snook under the docks there around Little Gaspereau Island and the north tip there of Boca Grande, Gaspereau Island, right,
okay.
right by the pass. A couple of redfish underneath those docks. My uncle and his son saw a couple big tarpon swim by those docks when they were fishing them the other day.
Alrighty then. That brings us to Lemon Bay.
Lemon Bay. There's a redfish up in there underneath the docks and the bushes. There's a school up there in the Miserable Mile that people keep talking about, but I'm not hearing of anyone catching them. But, like, they're seeing them.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of snook underneath all the docks and some of the bushes.
Okay. Still using the cut bait in here.
Yep. Cut bait and bin fish.
Any place we can throw a gold spoon for those redfish?
Any of those spots. Gold spoons work a lot this time of year, but people focus on the bait because it's a little bit more successful, I guess.
Well, maybe, but it's easy to get bored, you know, with sitting there and just hooking that piece of bait, and now we wait. All right, we got one after waiting for 5 minutes, and now move on to the next spot over here and hook a piece of bait, and now we wait. You know.
Yeah.
Your ADHD-type personality wants to keep throwing that spoon. And I do know we have plenty of ADHD anglers out there.
Cast out a bait and then throw a spoon while you're waiting.
Listen, I'm just giving them another option. That's all I want to do. I'm not telling them you have to do it this way, you have to do it that way. I'm just letting them know that either one can work. And if you don't like a gold spoon, scented soft plastic.
That works.
Smear it up real good.
With ProCure.
You don't like ProCure, that's fine. Use a gulp. Gulp works fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
You get lazy when you're fishing your gulp soft plastic, that's fine. Fish it just the same way you'd fish a piece of cut bait.
Yep.
That's the cool thing about gulp baits is they work equally well when you fish them like a soft plastic and retrieve them, or fish them like a cut bait and let them just sit there on the bottom.
Yep.
All right, brings us to the Gulf bottom fishing and trolling, reefs and wrecks.
All on the beaches out there, there's Spanish mackerel.
Now, we didn't say nothing about beaches, Robert.
Out right within a mile of the beaches.
Oh, that's...
Heading great. Offshore.
Fantastic. So, within a mile of the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All the way out to about 10 miles, I'm hearing a Spanish. Been a few kings being seen. I haven't gotten any reports of one landed. But that's really about it, because it's been too damn windy. Nobody's really gone offshore. You know, we've had a lot of those strong, you know, we had that first front come through, so it was all out of the north-northeast, so you had about 3 to 5 miles of calm. And then the rest of it started rocking and rolling. So nobody really went out. And then we also had that boat race or whatever out there off of Inglewood Beach.
Yes.
So, kind of kept people from wanting to go out there too much.
Okay. Well then, that's fine. We'll just move on to the next spot, which happens to be the Venice Jetties and the Venice Pier. Of course, the North Jetty is open, the South Jetty is closed, and the Venice Pier is now fully open. My wife and I had dinner at the restaurant out there, and we're watching people catching fish from the pier. I wouldn't say I saw anything large caught for the hour or so that we were sitting there at the window, but I was definitely watching people catch fish. Couldn't tell exactly what they were at that distance, and I thought it would be rude to bring my binoculars into the restaurant, but something like size range would probably be whiting, maybe small black drum.
I've heard of some whiting. Lots of Spanish mackerel. Couple of pompano. Couple of blue runners. One kingfish. And a couple of sharks. And it's almost a mirror image over there off the jetty. Except for at the jetty, there's been more snook. And people are seeing some sheephead there too, but not really catching them, but definitely starting to see them there too.
Okay. Not really catching them yet.
Nope. I'm sure there's a couple guys catching them, but they ain't saying anything.
Right. But they're easy to spot.
Yeah, the water is super, super clear out there from what everyone's telling me.
Yeah.
It's, like, really pretty.
Well, and if you have that clear and pretty water, and there's one sheep's head and 50 pompano and 50 snook down there, the one sheep's head is the one you're going to see.
Yeah.
Because they stand out so beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, that pattern just really lets you know that they're right there. Whereas, you know, snook, pompano, anything with more of that silvery or grayish color, they just kind of disappear in the water.
Yeah.
A lot of people have a really hard time seeing those things unless, you know, they're silhouetted on top of bright white sand. Then we can see it.
Right.
But the jetties, they're up against those rocks, and unless you've got the eye, you are not going to notice those fish. But anybody can see a sheep's head. So that's one reason why people get so excited about them, because they're so visible.
Right.
Moving on to the rest of the passes, we've got Punta Rasa to the south.
No report.
Redfish pass.
Spanish mackerel. Couple of redfish and some snook. In and right in the immediate vicinity of it.
Okay. Captiva Pass?
Same thing. Some redfish, some snook, Spanish mackerel, even a few trout.
Copy. Paste.
Once again, it's been kind of windy through there because of the direction of the wind. It's kind of cutting right through it, but guys have been fishing that. So they're going from point A to point B.
All right. Boca Grande Pass.
Boca Grande's been weird. It's been very quiet. Some Spanish mackerel.
Well, you know, they just finished that renourishment project down there.
Did they?
So I think that probably has something to do with it. You know, when we change flow that goes through there, I think we take away a lot of the food when we cover it up with sand.
Did they dredge the pass, or did they just...
No, they did their dredging further up in the harbor.
In the intercoastal?
Past the intercoastal, actually.
That's what those barges were out there?
Yeah. Yep.
And what was that for?
That was to dredge up fill to put on the beach there on the south end of the island.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's what they've done.
I'm surprised they did that inside.
Yeah, I was surprised, too.
Usually they do that outside.
Yeah, usually they do.
Hmm.
But the renourishment project is complete, and the barge is now out of there. There's still some dredging equipment left over that I assume they're coming back to pick up. Yeah. So anyway, I'm not surprised that Boca Grande Pass is a little weird. You know, anytime we see renourishment projects on any of these beaches, they get weird for a while.
Right.
And then it takes some time for things to settle out again. Now, I would expect in Boca Grande Pass that time frame is probably a little bit shorter just because of the amount of flow that goes through here and the number of fish that move through this area. But yeah, a little weird. Not surprising.
Yeah.
So weirdly quiet, but we are hearing about what? Anything?
Nothing? Spanish mackerel. A few mangrove snapper. Like bigger size, like 12, 13 inches.
Where are those mangs?
30 to 40 feet of water on the south side of the pass.
Okay.
And then there's been some tarpon in there also. One guy did hook two fish out there, dragging pinfish through there. And they've also hooked a few pompano on the outside of the channel on the north side in that 20 feet of water range, heading out to the buoy.
Okay. I don't know why I can't type the word outside. Having one of those finger strokes again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I can work with that. Let's talk about the beach fishing. And when I say the beach fishing here, I mean the actual surf, as in when you are standing there on the beach with no boat to get you any further out, just your own natural anatomy.
Your toes in the sand.
Indeed.
Hmm. The only one I've got is Blind Pass Park. Snook. Couple of Spanish mackerel. Couple of sharks. Bonnetheads in particular. And a couple of blue runners. Which, judging by his picture, that was what I guessed, because he thought they were Jack Crevel. But they were little guys. They were hand size, maybe a little bigger.
Yeah.
The one picture was about, I think Helen Keller could have took a better picture.
With the potato?
Yeah, it was a horrible, horrible picture. Can you identify this? Yeah, it looks like some kind of fish.
Yeah.
It was bad. He's like, well, it was flopping around. I'm like, yeah.
Apparently. But, you know, there have been some blue runners showing up out there inside. We saw a few this week. Not huge numbers of them, but enough that it was worth paying attention to. And, you know, having people learn how to identify those blue runners versus the jacks. So.
Right.
Always fun to see.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Matt Lachey, Indian Field, Smokehouse Bay, and areas like such as that.
That's been tough down there. So my friend John fished a kayak tournament down there, and he said it was really tough fishing. He saw redfish. He saw some snook. He even hooked a couple snook, but that fishing was really tough last weekend down there.
All right. Brings us into Pine Island Sound, Rat Cat Keys, Mondongo Patricio, and anywhere else that you'd care to cruise around in that unexpectedly gigantic body of water, if all you've ever seen is the North End.
Yeah. Yeah, snook and redfish off under the bushes. And then you've got a handful of bigger trout out in the deeper water. From 3 feet of water to 6 feet of water with Spanish mackerel. And then a couple guys fishing up in the shallower water around those bushes, catching a couple of bigger trout. So it seems like the trout are kind of scattered all over the place there.
Okay. But the bigger trout are in shallow.
Mm-hmm. And all of those were caught, all the trout that the one guy was telling me about, he caught all his on paddle tails and spoons.
Okay.
He saw one giant snook that got him excited. He said it looked like it was 40 inches or better. So it was just kind of slowly swimming along the edge of the shoreline down there. He was along the bushes just to the east of Captiva Rocks.
Mm. Yep.
He's learning it. So he's learning the area down there.
Gotcha. Did he throw anything at it?
Yeah, he threw a spoon at it.
Did it say no?
It just slowly cruised along. He said it didn't even spook. He said it was just on a slow moving forward motion.
Yep. That's what they do.
I know Danny Latham's been catching a couple big snook down there. He's posted a couple pictures from his customers, but he's also very smart. He doesn't post his pictures except for 5 to 10 days after the fact.
Right. Yeah, and those big snook are going to confound a lot of anglers, you know, because you do have the chance sometimes to see those fish, and it's like, oh, there he is. How am I going to catch him? Well, the answer is you're almost definitely not going to catch him.
Yeah.
Once you've seen him and he's outside of what would be a good ambush zone for, well, her, once you've seen her, she's not going to bite anything. She's not in feed mode. She's in, I'm cruising around out here, I'm going from spot to spot. They know that it's very difficult for them to catch anything when they're out in the open like that, so they rarely try. And the ones that do try are almost always going to be the little ones. So throwing a bait at a 20, 22, 24-inch snook that you see out in the open, maybe. That might actually have the result that you're looking for. Throwing a bait at one of those big ones, go ahead and try, because it's there already. If nothing else, it gives you a chance to practice your casting accuracy. But don't expect much to actually happen.
Right.
They're just, that's not what they're doing right now. So.
Nope. And this time of year, you find them in one spot, they're going to be gone the next day or on the next tide.
Yep.
Because they are moving around a lot.
Brings us into Jug Creek Shoal and Boquilla.
Nothing. Got no report for there.
Nothing. So we were on the backside of Jug Creek Shoal, where it starts to deepen up a little bit, because we needed a place that we could have the waves broken up a little bit, because we had that annoying northeast wind. And we did okay back there, not amazingly. The main thing, though, was the aggression level of the puffers. You know, very frequently we see puffers back in there chewing on our soft plastics and just taking chunks out of them. But these guys were not only so aggressive that we were actually hooking them, but they were actually big enough that if we'd decided to keep them, they would have been pretty good keeping size. I mean, they were big enough that, you know, it was... you felt more comfortable when they were inflated holding them in two hands than holding them in just one. So, pretty good-sized puffers. But here's the weird thing about that. We're throwing soft plastics, and they're very aggressive with the soft plastics. If you get it slow enough for them that they could catch it, they were catching it every time and taking that thing apart. But we're also drifting a shrimp on a float back behind the boat, and they are completely ignoring the shrimp.
That's a little weird.
We caught ladyfish on the shrimp. We caught lizardfish on the shrimp. We caught some very nice trout on the shrimp. Not a single puffer, nor were we losing them at the same rate that we were losing the soft plastics. It's like they didn't care about the shrimp.
Maybe they've got a taste for plastic now.
Maybe. I don't know. They were on it.
It's a little weird. You would have thought they'd tear apart the shrimp, too.
Yep. You would think.
A little strange. But it's amazing. Puffers are such a cool little critter, but you almost never hook and land any of them.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I always thought, I think it's cool when we actually do land one, because you get the chance to show them to people, and they're fascinated by the inflation, they're fascinated by the teeth, and, you know, by the time you get to trying to show them off with the fourth puffer, it's like, eh, who cares anymore?
Right.
Throwback. So. Burnt store and two pines.
Snook and redfish all on that shoreline. And then there's been some ladyfish and some pompano on the bar. One guy did catch four pompano drifting that bar.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I take that back. Three pompano and one permit, which he did not know was a permit until he got back to the house.
On silly jigs?
On paddle tails and silly jigs and shrimp. Hmm. Him and his buddy both were throwing all that stuff.
That's cool.
But he said they caught like one pompano here and then two pompano there and then one pompano here. But they were just drifting that whole bar because they had seen some skip when they were running.
Gotcha.
They just couldn't find the actual school, so they just kind of drifted and trolling motored around, just blind casting. They did catch one flounder, too. Undersized, but they did catch one.
All right, I'll add random flounder in.
Yeah.
Well, and this is typically when I used to wade fish a lot, the time of year that we'd see more of those flounder down there. So.
Right.
East Side Keys and Pirate Harbor.
A lot of redfish underneath the bushes, some out on the flats. A lot of little snook. And a few little trout. If you got a higher tide and you can get way in the back of some of those creeks, especially if you're a kayak fisherman, mm-hmm. much better redfish, much better snook.
Okay. So how far back?
Quite a ways back in those little creeks, you know, like up there around, what is it, Winegord Creek? And basically the farthest islands inland have been producing better fish. Not necessarily better numbers, but definitely far better quality.
Okay. And do you think it's really that there are better quality fish back there, or it's that they just don't get targeted as much back there, so they're not on their guard?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a little bit of everything.
Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, and the skating rink.
I got no reports from over in there.
No reports. That's fine. We saw a bunch of bait over in that area around Alligator Creek coming out of it, but nothing was on it. So.
Yeah. I've had a couple people trolling and casting work in the bushes there and not getting anything that they're mentioning.
All right. Ponce de Leon Park.
Little tiny snapper. Come on, Game of Fish, go in there and hammer some people. Couple guys seeing some big snook sitting there right by the boat ramp. If anyone's hooking them, I don't know. But if they're treating them like the mangrove snapper, I'm sure they're poaching them too.
Probably. The PGI canals and Punta Gorda general area.
Lots of little snook. Couple of legal snook. Juvenile tarpon. People are seeing a few black drum here and there. And that's it.
Seeing a lot of sheep's head in there too, but again, super visible. Most of these guys are way too small. But yeah. People are seeing them, and they're like, okay, well, I saw a bunch of sheep's head, and I'm getting excited because it's, well, how big were the sheep's head? Well, I don't know, size of my hand. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a little small.
It's just that the water cleared up enough that you could see them. They've been there all summer.
Yeah. Yep. Every night we see, Christina sees them, but they're little guys, like 2 to 3 inches, sleeping inside the rocks next to the seawall.
Yep.
But they are cute when they are that small.
The Gilchrist Pier doesn't exist, so we can't really talk about that one. But we can talk about Alligator Creek Reef. Anything going on out there?
Well, there's been some tarpon on it, a few Spanish mackerel, and two undersized goby on there. One was like 28 inches. The other guy said he didn't even say the size. He just said it was undersized.
Okie dokie. How about the 20-foot holes?
Mostly there's been some tarpon out there with some ladyfish. Not a lot of people fishing it because of the wind this past week. I should include a couple Spanish mackerel, too, because there have been a couple oddball Spanish mackerel caught out there, too, with the ladyfish.
And I'm sure there are some sharks.
I'm sure they are.
Okay. The baitfish reports. Tell me about the amazing baitfish reports we've got, Robert.
Little baitfish, if you go down to Devilfish and Jug Creek. And some better pinfish over there along the... from Devilfish up to Placida. And then there's been some schools of threadfins throughout the harbor from the 41 bridge all the way out.
Okay. And I would ask you about the Gulf bait situation, but we don't know because we haven't had a really chance to go out there.
Right. Very few people have been out there.
But this should be the time that we should be seeing some bait out there.
I'll tell you what, a guy showed me a picture of a dolphin he caught out there like 3 weeks ago. He showed it to me last weekend. Mm-hmm. It was huge. It was 30 inches.
That's a big dolphin for here.
That's what I told him. And his buddy's like, yeah, only that jerk can catch stuff like that. He doesn't hardly ever fish. He's not very good at fishing, but he always seems to catch the better of the fish. He was all butt hurt. It was pretty funny. But he wasn't taking his buddy seriously of how quality of a dolphin that was for here. And I laid it on him. I'm like, you could go another 20 years fishing out here and not do that. I said, I see a lot of dolphin from like 12 inches to 20 inches. And I can think in 20 years, I've seen maybe 6 fish that are over 28 inches. I mean, it was a really, really nice dolphin for here.
Well,
I mean, it's still a good dolphin just about anywhere, you know, but for here, that's a stud.
Yeah, that's a bragging fish.
Yes.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. Minor technical difficulties. Please hold your call. It's very important. Okay. Freshwater reports.
Yeah, we got that one cold front, and everyone's like, crappie, 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 crappie. It's got to be crappie fishing. My buddy caught two of them, so I'm going crappie fishing. We got wiped out of minnows in 2 days because everyone had to go crappie fishing. And you know how many crappie I heard of?
Those two?
Five.
And how many times do we tell people this?
Two crappie that, from one guy, one crappie from another guy, and two crappie from another guy. That's it.
The first cold front does not make it crappie season.
I know. Jeez.
How many times can you tell them? But I guess they get excited, and what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Did they catch anything else on their minnows?
A couple of bluegill, a couple of Mayan cichlids, and one bass. The guy caught like a 2-pound bass, so he was excited about that because he was actually able to land it on his little wire hook.
Right. Okay. I'm going to call them the Minnow Brigade.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll get offended, do you?
Probably not. I mean, I got my guys that fish regularly that are in here, you know, 2 times a week to pick up crappie minnows just to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny. He's like, well, give me 4 dozen instead of his usual 2 dozen. Give me 6 dozen instead of his usual 4 dozen. Uh-huh. You know, and it's like, what are you doing? Just yep. hoping. I'm like, okay. It's all good.
All right. That brings us to the tarpon reports.
It's getting less and less, and this wind this week made it slow, but I did have a couple.
So we have a tarpon map. The existing tarpon map has the yellow 50-50 dots in the mouth of the Myakka River and down to just off of Trout Creek.
Pretty much.
We have a less than 50% chance at Alligator Creek Reef, roughly, and in Boca Grande Pass, and then in the intercoastal waterway north and south of the pass. Does this still jive with what we're seeing?
Still jives.
Okay, so no real reason to change this map.
Nope.
Okay, then we won't. So we'll just change the date on it, and there we go. Okay. So you said the wind has made it tough.
Yeah.
We are expecting that wind to settle down here in the next couple days.
Theoretically.
Theoretically, yeah. Theoretically. But if it does, what would you be going out there to do? How would you be targeting these, let's call them tail end of season tarpon?
I'll go out there and try to find ladyfish, use them, catch them, throw them in the live well, and go look for fish. Of course, I'm going to have bait busters out also.
Okay. And your ladyfish, how are you rigging those up?
They're just going to be free lined out the back or possibly put under a bobber. Just depends. I might have one free lined and one under a bobber.
Where do you hook them?
Through the nose.
How big's your hook?
It's either going to be a BKK, an owner in the 7-aught or 8-aught size, and a circle hook.
Okay.
I'd say the trocar, but I'm out of trocars here.
Gotcha.
But I know the trocar, 7-aught, and the BKK and the owner hooks are all very similar in size because circle hooks are not standardized and a pain in the butt. So one company's 4-aught is another company's 6-aught is another company's 3.
Okay.
Makes no sense. So that's why I always try to mention the brand of the circle hook, not because I like it better than another, but because I want people to pick the right size.
And you're fishing that under a float?
Yeah.
How big of a float?
Not a very big float.
Doesn't the ladyfish pull your float down?
It does sometimes, but only for a couple seconds.
Don't you get excited when the ladyfish pulls your float down?
Not really.
Does it make you twitch?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it does.
So,
especially if you see that ladyfish come to the surface for a second and boil and then dives right back down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sometimes gets you excited.
Yeah. So the water up here in the harbor is a little bit darker. Are you using a heavier leader in that little bit darker water? It is starting to clear up, too.
I just use 60.
60-pound fluoro?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long a leader?
6 feet.
You feel like 6 feet's necessary?
For me personally, it's just my personal comfort factor for tarpon fishing in general.
Okay. And how far down below the float do you hang that ladyfish?
Depends. If I'm seeing them on the side scan and I'm seeing them mostly hovering in that 8 to 10 foot range, I'm going to set that bobber at 8 to 10 feet. Same way with the bait buster. Generally speaking, I've got it set at about 4 to 6 feet.
Now, do you like a dual drag reel for this, like a bait runner style?
Yeah.
If you don't have a bait runner style reel, how do you deal with that?
I loosen up the drag, but it's actually set fairly tight. I mean, that rod loads up really heavy in the rod holder before it starts pulling drag.
Okay. But you're going to let the fish hook themselves, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But I make sure that, because most of those rods that I'm using that don't have a bait runner on them are more of your casting style, so they don't have a gimbal on them. Mm-hmm. So I'm making sure that the rod is very well down to the bottom of the rod holder, not just kind of lackadaisically putting it in there.
Right. Because if the rod goes swimming, you don't get to catch the fish.
Right. And I know some people really have a lot of those split butt style rods. That is one rod that I do not put in a rod holder for loading up for bites.
Okay, so
for
any species. Split grip, you don't put that into the rod holder.
No.
Because there's a lot of just plain rod blank that's available there, and that doesn't have any bite in that rod holder, so your rod can slip out a lot more easily.
Slips out or breaks a lot. I see a lot of broken split butt rods because of that.
Gotcha. Now, if you were fishing with the bait buster, are you fishing that the same way? Do you cast it out, hang it underneath the float, or are you throwing it and retrieving it?
Both. Usually I've got one out the back under a float, and then I'm usually standing on the bow casting.
Do you care about color?
Purple and root beer are your two primary colors that are like the essential to have in your bag all the time. But I will switch it up. You know, two weeks ago, a customer got, he put two fish in the air on the glow, just the white one. Mm. He said he didn't get any hits on the root beer. He had a purple one out the back. He had one more in his bag, and it was the white one that he used to like to throw at night. He just put it on and jumped two fish on it. So,
now, a lot of people have not caught a tarpon before, but they may have caught something like a big striper or a halibut or something like that. How would you compare the fights here?
I've not caught a big halibut. Have no desire to. And I've never caught a big striper.
But you hear people talk about them.
If I had to compare it to how they fight them, I mean, a halibut wouldn't equate, because a halibut is basically a lot like catching a jewfish, you know, from what I understand, from a little bit harder of a fight, but mostly like catching a jewfish, are just big and pull downward.
They run a little bit more than that, but they don't run strongly.
Right.
And if they do run, they typically run once.
Right.
And, of course, those stripers, you know, they don't have the stamina that a tarpon has. And I think that's what a lot of people are not anticipating, is the amount of stamina that a tarpon has, because they do breathe that air.
It's a far stronger fish. It's got a lot more endurance to it. It jumps. Makes a really cool noise when it jumps. I mean, I think tarpon is personally definitely the greatest sport fish we have in our area, without a doubt.
But they are a true game fish. And it doesn't quit. It doesn't give up. You think you have it whipped, and then, no, it just starts all over again.
Yeah.
So the reason that I mention that is because I talk to a lot of people who want to go catch a tarpon. It's their dream to go catch a tarpon. And then they go out there, and they hook a tarpon, and they realize, wait a minute, I was not prepared for this.
Yeah.
Just to remind people that, hey, it's a serious fish. You're picking a fight with something that might beat you. So
it'll let you know that you caught one, even if you just catch one.
Now, when you get that fish to the boat, if you've never handled a tarpon before, if nobody on the boat has ever handled a tarpon before, let's offer up some tarpon handling tips for those people so they don't get themselves injured, because this happens even with the professionals, the charter captains who are out there doing this day in, day out during tarpon season, and walk into the shop with a broken nose.
Broken nose, broken wrist, broken forearm, permanently damaged fingers. So you grab them by their lower jaw, and their lower jaw almost has like a handle on it. And so you hold on to that, and try to get the hook out. And then if that doesn't work, then you cut the line and face him into the current and put the motor into just idle mode into the current and let him go along until he's ready to go. But hold on tight. But on your very first grab, be prepared to get slung, because he's fighting for his life. He doesn't know you're trying to resuscitate him. He thinks you're trying to kill him and eat him.
Right.
So he's going to shake his head violently. You're going to think he's all ready to go, and he's not.
And when we deal with these fish, they have just been through a lot. They can fight themselves to the point of exhaustion, even sometimes to the point of death. The last thing we want to do with these tarpon, because we're talking about catching adult-sized tarpon here. We're looking at fish that are somewhere between average 15 and 50 years old. It's a real shame to catch a fish like that, and then as a result of just trying to take our trophy pictures of it, we end up killing that fish. So keep those fish in the water. Keep his head in the water. You see a lot of photos where those fish are grabbed by the jaw and wrenched up half out of the water. But unfortunately, what that does is that can close down their swim bladder. When their swim bladder closes down, it's very difficult for them to gulp air and open it back up, which not only makes their short-term recovery difficult, but it makes their long-term functioning as a tarpon rather difficult. So try to remember to keep those fish in the water. The best way to take your trophy shot is to turn that fish on its side, which you can usually do if you've got a pretty good grip onto the jaw, and as you're idling forward, the body will come up kind of naturally, and then the angler leans out over, you take the picture from above, makes a pretty good trophy shot. But you know, if it comes down to getting a quality trophy shot or risking having that fish die, well, then forget the trophy shot. You know, I'll go with whatever photos we end up with, and that'll be fine. And I totally get wanting that trophy shot when you finally catch your first tarpon. I really do. But it's not worth the life of the fish.
No, it's not. The cool part is this time of year, it's at least cooling off, so...
It is. Their recoveries are a little bit easier, and there's a lot fewer sharks up there that are willing to eat tarpon. So the sharks we see up there are mostly chasing the same ladyfish, mackerel, and baitfish that the tarpon are. They're not trying to kill the tarpon.
Right.
So that's a positive thing.
Definitely.
Anything else that you feel like we should mention about tarpon other than making sure your tackle is up to the job?
Nope, but take advantage of it because it could last 2 weeks or another month and a half.
Yeah.
You know, that's the big thing. We're right on the cusp of it ending.
Yeah. And light tackle is great. Light tackle is a lot of fun. The tarpon rods that we're using are typically, if you're using spinning gear, and usually you're casting, so spinning gear is what makes the most sense, 6,000 to 8,000 size reels, 65-pound test braid, 30-pound test mono can get it done if that's what you're used to using. 60-pound test leaders, but, you know, a good heavy action, typically a 20 to 40 or a 20 to 50 rod, that you can put a lot of pressure on those fish. And do it. Put a lot of pressure on those fish. If they come up to roll, try to pull them back down. Put opposite pressure on those guys at all times. Do not let them rest. It will make your tarpon fight way, way longer if you let them rest. And if that means you got to hand off the rod to your brother-in-law, well... Even though he's kind of an asshole, hand off the rod to him. So, you know?
Yeah.
Let's do what's right for the fish.
Exactly.
All right. I guess that ends this report then?
I think so.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think so.
You don't want to add anything else?
No.
Okay. Well, then why don't you just say goodnight, Robert?
Goodnight, Robert.